Amen. I'm going to tell you something real quick. I've got a contact in one eye. You don't know what that means, do you? That means I can see you with one eye. I'm going to read with the other eye. So you don't know if I'm looking at you or not. I should say, put it this way. You don't know if I can see you or not. So I'm not going to tell you which eye it's in, all right? Amen. I've got this, I won't say 40 thing going on, but it's more like 50 thing going on. And my eyes have changed, and I put contacts in. I can't read a tape measure for nothing. Amen. So I pull them out, and I read tape measure good, but I can't see squat down the road. So if you see me coming down the road and don't wave at you, don't be offended, amen? Hey, just say, he ain't got his glasses again, all right? Amen. It's so good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I want to share with you some pictures real quickly tonight. We're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter number 11. But I want to share these pictures, and I always try to do my best to be mindful of time. The Lord has given us so many things to over the past few years. I'll be honest with you, I did not realize till I walked in the door a few moments ago and realized how long that I've been doing this. I've been doing mission work longer than I pastored any one church at one time. I pastored, somebody said, well, preach, where were you at? I was at Friendly Grove Baptist Church for about 9 years. Then I was at Oak Forest Baptist Church for about 9 years, and I've been doing this for about 11 years, going on 12 years, and I had no idea. I remember as a young man, after God saved me right here, that's right over there, about 12, it had to be at least 12:30, Brother Feldman was preaching, so on that side of the church, on January 28, 1990, God saved me. Amen. And about a year later, God called me to preach. And I remember this young man sitting back there saying, man, I want to get up there. Boy, you just get me up there. I get the whole world saved. I found out that wasn't right. Amen. But anyway, God called us to preach and then put us to pastoring. And then God gave us a pastor's heart. And I thought once I was a pastor, I'd always be a pastor. And then 2008 rolled around, and a missionary came to our church that we were pastoring at. And God pricked my heart. And I had no idea. I had no idea what all God was going to do. And I'll share more of that in just a moment. But if you'll look right here real quickly, I'm going to give you just I want to back up just real quickly to August of 2018. Well, let me back up 10 years before that real quickly. We took our first trip to Honduras in September of 2008, and God touched our heart like I cannot explain. I went down there and come back crying and boo-hoo and slobbering, trying to explain it to my wife. And I could show you 1,000 pictures, and you could not explain. I cannot explain to you. Brother Tommy knows. He's back there shaking his head. I took him on one of our trips, and you've got to, it's like salvation. You can't explain it. Right. Amen. You got to experience right. it. But God touched my heart for those people and for this work. And so I'm a general contractor by trade, and what little ability I have, God's allowed us to go. And we've been able to help with many churches in Central America, not just Central America. We've worked out in New Mexico. We've worked in several areas in Africa. And the Lord has just blessed abundantly. But anyway, jump ahead. We had some discouraging times. I'm not going to lie to you. You ever got discouraged? We had a discouraging time. We worked with a children's home for many, many years in Honduras. And we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in that home trying to help these children. Give them a better life. Give them not just food and clothes and shelter, but trying to give them a better life. And then sin crept in. Sin crept in. And we had a choice to do one of two things. Sweep it under the rug or expose it. And it was exposed, and unfortunately all that blood, sweat, and tears got washed away. I got discouraged. I'm not going to lie to you. I got discouraged. But you know, God said you don't quit just because you got one bad apple.
Come on.
So we picked up and kept trudging on, and we just had to overcome. We just had to overcome what happened. And so, August of 2018, Brother, they call him Joe, his name is Jerry, Brother Joe Pinkerton, Dr. Pinkerton, many of you, and most of you probably know Brother Pinkerton, great man, good doctor. Been going to Honduras for many years, treating the people of Honduras. And done something I hadn't done before. I went on a mission trip with them, with a medical mission trip. And every time I've went, I've always kind of been building. I mean, I've been trying to figure out how many blocks to get, how many bags of cement to get. And my focus has always been on building. But this time we focused on ministry. And that was our job. That was our job, was to minister to the people. This was our group that we were from about four or five different states and different church groups. But we all came. Some of these are Honduran folk who were our translators. But we came, and I've got to hurry along, I know. But we came together, and what we do, we set up clinics. And when the people came, and we'd get to minister to them, preach to them, and dozens would be saved. And then they'd get an opportunity to have their medical needs met. But anyway, we done this August of 2018. Let me just share something with you real quickly. Sometimes you don't understand God.
Come on, brother.
And sometimes God can see down the road and around the curve.
Right.
When you can't hardly see out the door. God had put on our heart to build another church. We'd done the land that we thought had already got taken care of, and the Lord had provided the money for the church, and we were going to go build the church. January of 2019, we were already set up and established, had our crew, and we were going to build a church. But see, God started working in August of 2018. See, I thought in January I was going to build a church. But God had another plan. See, when I was there in August of 2018, I seen something that I had never really seen. How infested and how infected many of the people are because of something you have every day that you take for granted. That's clean water. You don't think nothing about it. You get tap water, bottled water. Just, it's abundant. I heard a statistic sometime back, and I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but about 40% of the people in Central America have what they call intestinal worms. It's from the filth and from the bacteria that they have to live in. I remember the Sunday night before we started our clinics on that Monday, we were 25,000 vitamins and worm pills. We were dividing them out, getting them ready for the clinics. And I'd never seen it before. And God began to talk to me and speak to me about they need clean water. Now here's the amazing thing. I got to speed along. Got back on the plane. We finished our week out. Got back on the plane. And God set me right in behind people from Jamestown, North Carolina, who've been putting water systems in for several years in Honduras. And then God set one of our other crew about three seats back on the other side of the plane beside one of their members who've been putting water systems in Honduras for several years. God knew what He was doing a long time before I ever did. Long story short, of going to build a church in January of 2019. And every person I had lined up to build a building. When you build a building, Brother Mark, tell me what you need. What kind of people you need?
Laborers.
You need laborers. You need somebody who knows how to lay a block. Hey, man. You don't need wallpaper hangers. You need somebody who knows how to mix up a little mud and tote a wheelbarrow and carry a block and lay it straight. And can you believe everybody I had lined up backed up but three flunky plumbers? That's exactly what I needed to install a water system. What are you saying? God knows what He's doing. Sometimes what we need to do is take our hands off the wheel and let Him drive. Amen. All right, go ahead real quickly. This is what we done in 2018. God began to do a work. Next picture real quickly. We went to the remote mountains here with a village of about 200 people. And as you can see, this is the schoolhouse. Dirt floor, no running water, no electricity whatsoever. They didn't even have a church. I'm glad God changed that. Amen. Next picture, if you will, please. Here's what we had the opportunity to do. We'd minister to these people before they get an opportunity to see the doctor. Not that we held it against them, but that was a condition. They come and we'd get to minister to them and we'd have dozens be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Next picture, if you will, real quickly. I can't say nothing else. Say nothing else. Next picture, please. This is the way they live. I want to ask you how many of you women would cook me supper tomorrow night if you had to cook on a kitchen on a stove like that?
Yeah.
Most of you husbands would starve to death, wouldn't you? Hey, ma'am. This is an everyday lifestyle in the mountains of Honduras. Next picture, please. This is not only the water supply, this is the bathroom. This is where they brush their teeth, take their bath, and go to the restroom. I don't want to ever hear you complain again. That is their bathroom. That is where they get ready in the morning. That is all of their facilities. Next picture, please. That was a bare lot when we went up there in 2018. For $9,900 was what the cost was estimated to be able to build a church there. We began to pray and ask God if He would give the money. And within the week's time, before we got back home, God had already raised the money to build that church. So that community of 200 people could have a church. Next picture, if you would, please.
Amen.
That's the building. It's more complete. It's complete, totally complete now. Matter of fact, this trip we're going on in March, we're going to go back to that mountains church, which takes 3.5 hours in a four-wheel drive vehicle to get there because it's so remote and the terrain is so rough. We're going to have a dedication for that church. Next picture, if you will, please. This is what happened in January 2019. Where the Lord took from building this church because He knew what was going on more so than I did. This, my crew of several, I think we had 11, 12, 15 people dropped down to Jody Parks, his daughter, Josue, which is our missionary we work with. Brother V.O. Robertson, who is a retired anesthesiologist, 80-year-old, and outworked most of us there. And then Brother Steve Stofus, pastor of Union Baptist Church. And God knew exactly what He was doing. Go ahead, brother. This is a church in a little community called Corral. It's outside of Sonagara, an area that we've been working in here recently. And go ahead. We built this water system right in front of the church. Why did we do that? Why did we do that? Because we wanted this community to be able to come to the church and get clean water, but not just clean water. We wanted it to be an outreach so they could get the living water. Next picture, if you would, please. We built this little building about 10 by 12, and inside of it, you'll see it has the water system that we take with us, solar powered. It's called a chlorine generator. And see the up in the air where the solar panel is, we had to put it up high for two reasons. One, for the sun. Two, to keep it from being stolen. Because if it's not nailed down in Honduras, it will get stolen, I promise you. Next picture, please. This is chlorine generator, an amazing thing that God has allowed man to invent. We're able to run water into this system, and then it purifies, and the people have purified water. Next picture has become a great outreach. In the past few months, I don't know if you can see this little circle up here in the nook, but right next to Nigeria and Honduras, Ghana, a little place called Togo, West Africa. We've been working there. Those people had very limited water supply. Next picture, if you will, please. Brother Chip Stoy with Fundamental Baptist Home Mission Board, he's the director there. Him, myself, and a few other men have been trying to raise money, and God blessed and allowed us to raise money to drill two wells. Next picture, if you will, please. These are the men of Togo and the ministers that they're working with there in Togo, West Africa. Next picture, if you will, please. It's rough living. How many of you want to farm that way today? That John Deere looks pretty good you got sitting out there under your shed, doesn't it? Hey, man, next picture, if you will, please. This was their water supply. Brother Chip told me the entire time he was there, not only was it filthy, he was worried about a crocodile coming up out of that water every day they were there. So God allowed us, next picture if you will please. See, because they could not and would not drink from that dirty water supply, they'd have to walk miles to the next village to where there was a place they could get water. Next picture if you will please. The Lord allowed us to raise $6,000 for this well that we drilled. And now, next picture, if you will, please. The Lord allowed us to do this well. Because I want to tell you something that's so amazing. This well was completed. Fresh water was there. But they would not drink of it until Brother Chip came and dedicated it to the Lord. Amen. Next picture, if you will, please. We are now in the process of drilling a second well in a place called, that place was Kolo Togo, West Africa. This place is Dadeek, which is also in Togo, West Africa. We're in the process of drilling this well now. God also allowed us to raise $6,000, where we're in the process of doing the same thing for these people. Listen, there's a lot of things people can live without, but water's not one of them. Next picture, if you will, please. Now the Lord has given us an opportunity to go into a place called Bakay. Where is Bakay? My daughter asked me this evening, where is Bakay? It's in the southern part of the Caribbean, not too far west, eastward of South America. It's down below St. Vince. It's a little island that's about 7 miles square. Has a population of about 5,600 people. They're made up of African people. They're made up of Caribbean people. And there's one other group that I can't remember that make up this small island. They have a little Baptist church. Brother Timothy Mitchell is the pastor of Baptist Gospel Mission Church. Next picture, if you would, please. Here's the well that has been dug, but the water's not clean. Therefore, we're trying and seeking and praying for the privilege to go and be able to build them a well house with a purified water system. Next picture, if you would, please. These are what these little buildings look like. Simple, small structures, about 10 by 12, with a cement floor and a storage tank. Next picture, if you would, please. Next picture, also. These are the purifying tanks. It depends on the capacity that we need, whether we do one tank to two tanks. These tanks are 2,500 liters, which is about 600 gallons, I believe. Next picture, please. Now, this is my last picture. I just wanted to share something just a little humorous with you. Can anyone read that? Can you, Brother Jerry, can you read that? You probably know what that is. We were sitting while we were building this water system at this little church in Corral. And we eat lunch. The ladies of the church fixed us lunch each day. And we were sitting there and we had bologna sandwiches or ham sandwiches, something like that. And this was sitting on the table. Now, I've traveled to South America, to Spanish countries for nearly 11 years. And I probably still can't speak an entire sentence in Spanish. But that looked like mayonnaise. Well, Jerry, can you tell us what that is? That's glue. Brother Samuel, who's a young pastor, God saved and called out of the children's home, and he's there at the church, and all of us, we're sitting there eating. And I reach over to pick that up. Not that I was going to put any on my sandwich, but I picked it up, just looking at it, trying to figure out what it was. And Brother Samuel, he can't speak much English, and I can't speak much Spanish. But he run over and he go, no, 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 no. Other words, he was trying to say, if you eat that, brother, it's going to glue your lips together. Fortunately, my wife was not with me on that trip, or she would have let me. Amen? Amen. All right, that's it. I appreciate that tonight. We can build an entire water system. Purchase the generator, building everything for about $4,500. That's because the well system is already there. We have the water supply. We just have to build the building, purchase the generator, which we purchase out of Kentucky. It's about $850 for itself, and then we purchase the tank, the blocks, the building, everything, entire about $4,500 for everything.
Uniquely, they are always in close proximity to the church.
We try to always put them at the church. My goal, Lord willing, we in the time that I've been doing this, we have constructed somewhere around 25 churches in Central America, between Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras. My goal is to go back to every church and build a building to give the people, the communities, clean water, and that it be an outreach to the church. But I want to tell you the amazing thing, and unfortunately I've not got the video, but we can dig a well in Honduras. There's four guys who stand with a stick and they push it in the ground and they walk. And they pick it up and they push it in the ground and they walk. And they push it in the ground and they walk. Normally for about 4 days. And once they get 6 to 8 foot deep, they'll pull that out, add another rod to it, and do it again. Which is what we're going to do, because we need a water supply. Because this January we're going to Bouquet, and Lord willing, March of this year we're going to do a medical mission and a water system in an area called Sonagera. But these boys will dig this well for us for $350. 4 days. Push it in the ground. Move a quarter turn. Push it in the ground. Turn a quarter turn. For 4 days. I'm going to sign you up. It's amazing. It's amazing what God can do. If you have your Bibles, look with us tonight. Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. I'm going to hurry along because you look hungry.
Come on, brother. Let's preach to us.
Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. If you found your place, say amen. Stand to your feet. All right, let's reverence the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach on this soul. He just wouldn't quit knocking. He just wouldn't quit knocking. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 11, verse number 5, the Bible said, and he said unto them, this is the Lord speaking unto his disciples, he said, and here some would call it a parable, others would call it a hypothetical situation. Either way, whatever you want to look at it, the Lord is speaking to his people, to his disciples, and he said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? How many of you stay up to midnight? What's wrong with us? We're all crazy anymore, ain't we? Going to him at midnight and saying to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. The Bible said, for a friend of mine is in a journey and is come to me. I have nothing to set before him. And the Bible said, and he from within shall answer and say. There's some things I want you to see about this. That his friend was just about rude. And the Bible said, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. Verse number 8, he said, and I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Father, you are our Father. You are our gracious and our loving and our kind Father. Lord, I want to stop for just a moment, and I don't want to pray out of ritual or out of routine. I want to speak to you, Lord, just like my Father. And I want to tell you, Father, how much I love you and how much I thank you for saving me. Lord, I want to thank you for what all you've done. Lord, I want to thank you for all you're going to do. Because you're a heavenly Father. Father, I pray, as we come here now, you take these old lips of clay. Lord, you'd anoint them tonight, God, in a way and in a manner and in a fashion, God, that would glorify you. Lord, this service is not about me and it's not about them, but it's all about you. Lord, tonight I pray you'd move on our hearts, touch our souls tonight. Lord, give us a vision for those around us that are hurting. Those around about us that are lost and suffering. Father, I pray tonight, would your presence be welcome here tonight? Would it walk up and down the avenues of our hearts and our souls? Would you stir us to the very depths of our core? I pray now, Father, would you move in a special way? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing out with respect to the reading of the Word of God. I said a moment ago, before I started, that in September of 2008, I made my first trip down into Honduras. And how little did I know where all God would take me and where all He's going to take me. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then he said, here am I, send me. About a year ago, my next door neighbor, who's also a pastor of a local church, knew I was going on a mission trip, and I'd invited him to go with me. His church has been very gracious to our ministry and to the work we do in Honduras and around the world. And I said to him, it's in my heart. Like it's in your heart to pastor the church. It's in my heart to do this work. And I just can't understand why you wouldn't want to go. I can't understand why you wouldn't want to go. But God don't call everybody to go. And I said to him, I said, brother, I said, if you get off work, I'd sure love to have you go. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, brother, I'm just going to be honest with you. I really just don't want to go." Now, that didn't mean he didn't have a vision, didn't have a heart for the people. It just meant God hadn't called him to go. Matter of fact, the people I'm preaching about, people I'm talking about tonight, most of you, if not all of you, will never see them on this side of eternity. I got discouraged the other day. I mean, I'm honest. I just like to be honest.
Come on, brother.
I got discouraged the other day, and I just felt like I just wasn't doing enough. I just felt like I wasn't accomplishing anything. You ever just feel like you're just spinning your wheels? Why get on a treadmill? Where do you ever get? Oh, I run 7 miles. You run it all in one place. You didn't accomplish a whole lot, did you? Oh, hey, oh, look at me. I run 7 miles. Well, where all'd you run to? Oh, I run one place. That ain't a whole lot to brag about. You stayed in the same place. Sometimes I felt like that in my ministry. And I kind of just got down and out. I mean, I was just going through the motions. This ain't in my notes, but I'm sorry, amen. But I mean, I just felt like I was sitting still. I mean, I thought, well, I ought to be like D.L. Moody or you know, Spurgeon or Billy Graham. I mean, I ought to be changing the world. But then a preacher preached a message. I'm glad God sends it by just when you need it, amen?
Yeah.
And he give a man's name that I don't even know. He give a man's name that I can't even remember. What a difference it made in my life. This particular man was, many, many years ago, was a faithful Sunday school teacher. One particular Sunday, there was a young boy in his class who got under conviction, but he left the service that day. And that Sunday school teacher, he was concerned about that young boy. That young boy happened to be working downtown in a shoe store. And that Sunday school teacher, he went and found where that boy was. And he talked to that young boy, and he eventually led that young boy to the Lord. Who was that young boy? That young boy was D.L. Moody. Most people have been in church any length of time at all. They know who D.L. Moody is. But you don't know who his Sunday school teacher was. But if you go and you continue to study that story, you'll find out that D.L. Moody got hooked up with Billy Sunday and then went on and went on. And it continues down to Billy Graham. And what I'm just simply saying was, there was a Sunday school teacher that nobody knows his name, who was faithful. He was faithful just to his job, just to his position. He wasn't changing the world. But he was just fulfilling his call. He was just fulfilling. The world may not know your name, but this is your place. Sometimes we like our name in lights. We want everybody to know who we are. You know what sometimes what we need to do? We need to fog the mirror up where we can't see ourselves so good. My goodness, this is a long way from where what I thought I was going to pray. I've got to get back there in a minute. Well, my name's Jimmy, and I need some money to help some people. Preacher, you're pretty blind, ain't you? Well, listen, Jim Jones, Jim Baker, Jimmy Swagger, my name's Fred. All right?
Preacher, bro.
What are you saying? You didn't know my name was Fred, did you? You're just a puppy, son. Smell your breath. I bet you still got puppy breath, don't you? I had no idea what all God would allow me to do. John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I don't feel that God called me to one particular people, but that He's called me to a whosoever, that is, wheresoever. I had no idea in September 2008 that God would just put me on a plane to a little old country in the middle of Central America. And from there, He'd take me not only to Honduras, but He'd take me to Durban, South Africa, to Boer, South Africa, to Togo, West Africa, not necessarily physically there, but then to Farmington, New Mexico, to Guyana, South America, and Wilkesboro, North Carolina, where the Lord has used us for several outreach projects. And now, to Bouquet, to help a people who have a need. Not just a physical need, but have a spiritual need. Approximate population between 5,300 to 5,600 people on that 7 mile square island who will come to that church. Who will come, many will come as sinners, come to get clean water.
Amen.
And can hear about the living water.
Amen.
I had no idea what God could do with me. But in our text tonight, just quickly, I've got to hurry along, but in our text tonight, I want you to see just three quick things. A need was declared. A declared need. The Bible says Jesus said unto His disciples, He said, "Which of you will have a friend? And you'll go unto that friend at midnight." You know, midnight in biblical times and midnight in days gone by was time when the lights were out or the candles were blown out, the doors were shut, and it was dark in the house and the people were asleep. Today, I'm going to say about 70% of your church here tonight has an addiction. You should have seen the sweat that just popped out on most of them saying, "Preacher, don't you get personal now." How many of you got one of them? Hold it up.
Let me find it.
You're right, brother. We believe you. Me and my wife's anniversary was Thursday night. And I've told her, I said, "Honey, you're addicted to that thing. She's going to have carpal tunnel." "What are you doing over there?" "We're watching television. Watching a program late at night." We'll have counseling after service, okay? I said, all right, listen. We're going to go out and eat. And when we get to this restaurant, we're going to go out and eat. We're going to lay our phones down. They're going to stay in the car. She went kicking and screaming, but I got her without the phone. You know how many times I've been out to eat and I've watched couples, romantic couples, yep, as they sit across each from each other and they gaze into their phones.
Text each other.
Honey, I love you. Oh, smiley face back. Kissy, kissy. Am I telling the truth? We're addicted. We're addicted. For some of you, if I said take that thing out and stomp it right now, you'd rather beat your wife or husband rather than break your phone. Preacher, you're meddling. What am I getting at? This man came, the Bible said, Jesus said unto him, he said, which of you will have a friend? And in the middle of the night, you come in the middle of, see, in the middle of the night, that's our problem anymore. We don't turn off the phone. We don't turn off the TV. We don't get alone with God. And my friend, we wonder why things are going wild in our lives. How many of you live in a development? About midnight tonight, I want you to get up out of bed, if you've went to bed. And I want you to drive through your development and see how many lights are on. We wonder why people are dying so early. But listen, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, he said, how many of you will have a friend? You'll go to that friend in the middle of the night. He declared there was a need. He said, I've got a friend that's come to me. And I've got nothing. I've got nothing for him. In other words, he said, I need your help. He said, you're my friend and I need your help. Church, I declare you to be my friend.
Come on.
I declare you to be my friend. And I come tonight, I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to throw secret punches. I'm not here to sugarcoat things and tell you how good you are because you really ain't.
Amen.
I grew up with some of you. I know you ain't. Don't be pointing at Greg Sharon. You're just as bad. Let's don't drag her into that, okay? What are you saying? I come tonight. But there's something I noticed about this scripture I'd never noticed before. He came not for his own need. He came because he had a friend that had a need. There was a need that was declared. But not only that, he declared the dilemma. He said, my friend has come to me in the middle of the night. Can you believe he didn't even have the gall to text me and tell me he was coming? He didn't call me. He didn't send a 3-hump camel and a messenger to let me know he was on his way. He just showed up. And here I am. See, you got to understand, in the Jewish custom, it was a great honor to show hospitality to those that come to your house. And what a shame and what a disgrace it was for him when a friend had come to him in the middle of the night. And he had nothing to offer him. So he goes to him. He goes to him and he says, friend, I've got a friend. And some commentators say, well, here's a friend that's come out of his way, or here's a friend that's lost his way and he's got a need. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's a lot of folk got a need. They got a need. And Jesus said, how many of you would go to your friend in the middle of the night and asked. The Bible says, there was something I noticed just right before I got up here. Read with me, if you will, just real quickly. Verse number 7. And the Bible says, and he from within. The Bible said, he said, from he within. In other words, he didn't even open the door. He didn't even get out of the bed. How rude. I remember I hadn't been pastor at Friend of Grove Baptist Church very long. We went out on visitation. And there was a man not too far from the church. He was a vile man. Just vile. He was just vile. Had a vile family. Just vile. Me and somebody else went and knocked on his door. Young, naive. I didn't know nothing else but do. Just knock on his door and invite him to church. Best I recall, he did come to the door. I said, hi, I'm so-and-so. And told him who I was. And he told me where I could go and slammed the door. I thought, well, do you realize how much time I just took away from my family? How much time how much gas I just spent to come down here and invite you to church? But you know what the problem was? He was in need and didn't even know it. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged and disgusted at the way people do. You say, how in God's name can some people live the way they live? How can they do it? But I was blessed. I went to church 9 months before I ever got here. What does that mean? My mama wasn't raised in church. My daddy wasn't raised in church. But somewhere along the line, my daddy lived in a drunkard's home. And my mama lived in a poverty home. Neither one of them grew up in church, but somewhere down the line, when God blessed them with children, they decided they wanted to have a better life.
Thank you, Lord.
They wanted something better for their children than they had.
Amen.
And Brother Mark, I thought Sunday morning, that was all, that you always go to church on Sunday morning. I thought that was like a state requirement or something.
Yeah.
Amen. I thought it was mandatory. Actually, in my house, it was. What am I getting at? Drive down the road next Sunday morning. I want you to look out and see how many kids are playing in the yard. How many people is mowing the yard. How many people are just living like Sunday is just another day. Do you know why? Because so many of them didn't grow up thinking Sunday was a day to go to church. They got a need. They got a need. Oftentimes, we'll never reach people spiritually till we reach them physically. Oftentimes, you've got to meet their physical need. You've got to meet their physical need. You've got to love people. I didn't say you had to love their sin, but you've got to love people. You've got to love people. Two years ago, next month, a man put 5 bullets in my car, me and my wife driving down the road. By the grace of God, how it missed us, I do not know. Yeah, I do know.
Yes.
I do know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be that boy's friend on Facebook.
Right.
My understanding, he spent 4 months in prison, still hadn't went to court, and still doing drugs. I don't appreciate what he did to my car and what he almost did to me and my wife's life. But I've tried to do my best to pray for that boy.
Right.
You know why? Because he's got a need that he don't even see. He's got a need. I got to hurry along. I'm going to wrap it up and I'm going to be done. The Bible says through the door, that was a disappointing reply that came. Dilemma was declared, but that was a disappointing reply. He said, trouble me not. He said, me and my children were in the bed. In other words, he said, I'm sleepy. Leave me alone. That old boy slammed the door in my face. I don't know if he ever got right. I'm going to be honest with you, Mark. I never went back. Shame on me. Shame on me. I hope he did. I pray he did. But if he didn't, he did. It wasn't because of my efforts. The last verse. Bible said, and I say unto you, well, let's back up to 7 just real quickly. He said, I cannot rise and give thee. I just can't do it. Verse 8, and he said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity. He said, go away. He said, go away. He said, go away. He said, for heaven's sakes, what do you want? I love children. What are you saying, preacher? The Bible said he wouldn't get up because he was his friend. He said, but because he was persistent. You know what? He had a desire to see the need met. I'm going to say something tonight, church, and don't you take it the wrong way. But I've learned to be blunt. You may not want to, and you may not feel led to help us at all with this work. And you know what? I'm going to say that's okay. I'm going to say I love you and you're my friend. And I'll come back around and see you again. But you know what? I'm not going to stop knocking on doors. I'm not going to stop calling pastors. I'm not going to stop asking for opportunities because my friends have got a need. They've got a need. They've got a need. I give up on the fellow who slammed the door in my face. I'm not going to make that same mistake again. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come and share these words tonight. Lord, probably the majority of these people don't really understand the burden that you've placed upon my heart or the joy that you place in my heart, Lord, when we're able to go to a people that are whosoever and wheresoever and provide their need. I remember a little old 16, 17-year-old boy a few years ago. We was leaving out of an orphanage home. He couldn't speak to me and I couldn't speak to him. But Lord, he looked down at my shoes and he just wanted my tennis shoes. I walked out barefooted that night, Lord. But I had such joy in my heart. Lord, it's because of churches like this and so many others that have given me that opportunity. Lord, I thank you for them. I do. I thank you for them. I'm so undeserving. But Lord, I appreciate the heart this church and so many churches have had. For people that they'll never see. But Lord, for people that they'll rejoice together in the eternities of heaven one day. Lord, I pray. I pray your will be wrought and it'll be done in this church. Bless this pastor and this people. And Lord, let us have a grateful heart for the blessings of God that you've bestowed upon us. I pray now tonight, as this service come to a close in a little bit, I pray, Lord, you add your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.